laughter, anger, and let's. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. 3,200 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan will have their combat tours extended by 4 months. Last week, Defense Secretary Robert Gates traveled to the country and met with top military commanders who said they need more troops. NATO will also add another combat brigade, the top NATO commander said today. Despite U.S. urging Afghanistan will not allow its heroin-producing poppy fields to be sprayed with herbicide, Afghan President Hamid Karzai received pressure from Afghan lawmakers who feared there would be a popular backlash against them. There was a record crop of opium in Afghanistan in 2006. President Bush will ask Congress for $10.5 billion more for security and reconstruction in Afghanistan, since the U.S.-led invasion against the country made that the Taliban back in 2001. The U.S. has spent more than $14 billion in such aid. Senate Democrats are hesitant about President Bush's upcoming request for $1.2 billion for Iraqi reconstruction. There are concerns about how the money will be used. In Lebanon, at least 3 people were killed in the third day of violence between pro- and anti-government supporters. Today's clashes around the campus of Beirut's Arab University, that's where students threw rocks, sticks, and other objects. In Paris, a donor conference for aid to Lebanon began today, $7.6 billion pledged by more than 40 nations and financial institutions. In central Baghdad today, 26 people were killed by a suicide car bomb blast, which occurred in a mostly Shiite neighborhood. 54 were wounded. It happened shortly after Iraq's prime minister warned militants that the U.S.-Iraqi joint security crackdown is on its way. A soldier from the 101 Airborne Division pleaded guilty today in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to the murder of 3 Iraqi detainees. He was sentenced to 18 years in prison. Israeli President Moshe Katsav's request for a 3-month leave was approved today by an Israeli parliamentary committee. He faces charges of rape and sexual misconduct. Southern California Republican Representative Duncan Hunter launched his 2008 presidential bid in South Carolina today. He cited Ronald Reagan in his speech and said he wants to continue the former president's legacy of, quote, peace through strength. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Now this message.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The CDC is investigating an outbreak of norovirus that sickened more than 300 passengers and crew on a worldwide cruise aboard the luxury Queen Elizabeth II. Authorities say the ship has since been sanitized and the outbreak contained. The former treasurer of NBC Universal has been arrested on charges of stealing more than $800,000 from the company. He's accused of using some of the stolen cash for private vacations to the Caribbean. Labor Department reports that the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits went up last week to 325,000, reversing the large declines of the previous 2 weeks. U.S. Labor Department announced that Walmart has settled an overtime case. The company will pay thousands of employees more than $33 million in back pay. Some analysts expect China's economy next year will replace Germany's as the third largest in the world. The National Association of Realtors reports that in December, sales of existing homes down by the largest amount in 17 years. Ford Motor Company posted its largest loss in its 103-year history. Automaker lost $5.8 billion in the fourth quarter. Light sweet crude at $54.23 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 119 points to 12,502. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. 6 minutes past the hour on a Thursday evening here in the, not exactly hills and hollers, more like the outskirts of beautiful Beckley, West Virginia, as the snow flies. I'm Bob Kincaid, and glad to have you along, absolutely, as we are. I am, Agnes is, the whole Head On family, the Horn family is every evening, every program for that matter. Just glad to have you along for the cussing and the discussing, as we say around here. Of course, it's another night that I'm broadcasting live from the room next to that of my father at the Hospice House of Hospice Southern West Virginia. I don't know how much you know about the hospice program. You're liberal, you're progressive, you're informed, you're intelligent, you're democratic, you tend to be a democratic voter. So that tells me you probably know a good bit. But of all the humanitarian acts that this nation has developed or worked on over the years, I've come to the conclusion that there is nothing there's nothing more fundamentally decent than hospice. Dad and I watched the end of the Mountaineer Marshall basketball game that ended the way it was supposed to last night with the WVU win. And we've had time together through the better part of the day. We watched Law and Order together. That's his favorite show. And little news here and there, a little bit of C-SPAN, a little of this, a little of that. And he's resting comfortably and feeling as well, I suppose, as a person with 7% heart function could possibly feel. But the fact of the matter is, death visited the hospice house last night. One of the folks who was here passed away, and there are ephemeral words like dignity, decency, and that sometimes they don't really have meaning until you watch what it means to have it. And this place and others like it are havens for dignity, for decency, for an understanding that, there's an old saying there, but for the grace of God go I. Hey, never mind the grace of God. There we all go. You know, unless you get hit by a bus or blown up by a terrorist or killed by a bush or something else along those lines, an elderly death awaits you. And so I think it is so very well considered that we help the hospice movement and the hospice process grow throughout this country. It's so much better than a nursing home. This is so far away from what those are. Better than a hospital. And it represents a fundamental decent recognition that, you know, lives end. And that one of the most profoundly decent things we can do is help it to end some level of dignity. I was driving up the driveway a little bit ago here, just reflecting, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just reflecting on how profoundly humane this whole process is, the way they work to make it. And my mind's eye flashed back on that reptilian, repiglican horror show at a very similar facility in Florida in regard to Terri Schiavo. And I was appalled and horrified by what was done then. And it is only more so now. I think if you listen to this program long enough, you'll understand how my mind works. I can't help but do what I call imagineering. And as I drove up to this beautiful hilltop setting, I couldn't help imagining what I would do if all those weird, hateful, fascist, controlling repiglicans were outside this facility. I won't hesitate. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd put the daggum vehicle in four-wheel drive and stick my foot into the middle of the pedal and see how many right-to-lifers I could take out. Because they would have earned it. What those sick people did around a facility very similar to this one. You know, we've talked from time to time about concepts of sin and things like that. That, what they did, is sin. It's the kind of evil that just worms its way into the very basis of your being and attaches on to whatever your spirit, your soul, your karma. That is sin. And, you know, it's repeated around the country, whether it's, Terri Schiavo's hospice facility. There were other people in that building trying to meet the end of their days, and these selfish bastards from her parents and the sleazy, well-tanned brother, and they sold off the names of it. Oh, my God, it's just... But they had not one iota of respect for the other people coming to the end of their days. But they had to stand out there with symbols and crosses and placards. And I'm sorry to revive this, because and then you got the Republican Congress who called Congress back into session on Easter Sunday, for the love of God, so that they could pass an ex post facto bill. You know, again, I apologize if I am unwantedly bringing you into this situation. But again, it flashed on me, and I suddenly understood better than perhaps I had before. The base level of evil that right-wingers and fundamentalists and right-to-lifers will go to in order to impose their hateful vision and their personal miserable nature on other people who aren't like them. So, you know, forgive me for that, please. But... if you haven't learned about hospice, learn about hospice. because eventually, because of the way the folks who share their time with this program and their time with Agnes and me and the rest of the Horn family, your effort to find out whether there is a viable hospice organization, especially not-for-profit, in your area will pay off at some point in ways that you cannot imagine. I have no problem telling these folks here, wonderful, wonderful people, that when the time comes, that I fully intend to do something. Volunteer, go out, stand on a stump, tell people about what's here. Come in, volunteer, make coffee for whatever I can do. Because this is just a... God, it's so important. It's so important. Because it comes to us all. Okay, that's the end of the pitch or the morose part or whatever you want to call it. Let's move on to some real live genuine Republican despising. And God knows there's several nominees for tonight. My particular favorite, GOP Senator Wayne Allard. Now, this guy has been out and about. He's worried about flag burning. And he despises people who have sex differently from him. He's concerned with what goes on when the light goes out. And because he's such a schmuck, he's announced that he won't seek re-election in 2008. But that's okay. There's a long time between now and 2008, and he is spending it as you would expect a conservative Republican to spend it. How is that? Well, this week in the midst of the minimum wage debate, and I think talking about the minimum wage debate is a valid use of our time this evening. In the midst of the minimum wage debate this week, Wayne Allard, and you just have to ask yourself, you know, a guy like this, you know, is there somebody out there that smiles when this SOB comes through the door? He introduced a bill. Sit down, wait for it, because the screaming will ensue. He introduced a bill this week that would utterly eliminate the minimum wage and say that each state shall be responsible for a minimum wage, if any. Bob Geiger covered this at bobgeiger.com. You know, Bob's been on the program. He's a good guy. And Bob noted that... for instance, the minimum wage in Kansas, if Wayne Allard got his way, the minimum wage in Kansas would be $2.65 an hour. Is there no depth to which a conservative Republican is unwilling to sink? Here's Allard's own words. In its current form, the bill attempts to blindly blanket the nation with a new federal minimum wage without regard to unique economic conditions of each individual state. Less government intervention at all levels enables the private sector to attract, recruit, and retain the best possible employees and reward increased productivity and responsibility with higher compensation. Pardon me. I think they've got medicines in this building that probably help with the urge to vomit. Because that urge is profound right now. Oh, my God. But that's okay. This is how that, you know, like I said, I'm seriously considering coining a new term. We've called them Republicans for so long. Maybe it's time for a new word. And like I said, the word that I've been contemplating is reptilican. Reptilican. as in reptile-like. How much more eat your own reptilian can you be than Wayne Allard? Of course, this was a knee-jerk reaction on his part because he's angry at the idea of people who work 40, 60, 80 hours a week getting a $2 raise sometime 2 years from now. See, I'm going to behave myself because I'm in a very, very nice place. It's brand new. The walls are all nicely, newly painted. The furniture is just beautiful, and there's not a blessed thing in this room I can throw or kick. I'm astonished. I'm absolutely stunned. I'm creeped out. I'm disgusted. And the sad thing is, Wayne Allard did this because he knows he's not going to run for re-election, so he can say any rotten, crappy, mean, stinking, nasty thing that comes into his filthy little reptilian brain. And we understand that. But you know what? There are oodles of Republicans in the Senate and the House who only wish they had the nerve to stand up and go right along with him. Really? You know they do. Why, his buddy Tom Tancredo, a member of the House of Representatives from Colorado, would probably go right along with it if he didn't know that there would be a pitchfork and torch procession headed for his home the minute that he did so. Stop and just let that rattle around your brain for a little bit. In the year 2007, in a society that, well, we kind of know better, but purports to be at least a little bit enlightened, a man has stood up and said that there is not a minimum amount of money that an individual is entitled to be paid for the sweat of his or her brow. Ready to scream? Does it make you want to? I know the right wingers are obsessed with dirty stuff, obscenity, if you will. But is there anything more obscene than just saying? I mean, if the state said that the minimum wage shall be 10 cents an hour, Wayne Allard is okay with that. Now, as Bob Geiger notes, the stinking animal was. Animal amendment bill, whatever, was rejected. But you know what? Allard's legislation drew 28 Republican senatorial votes. 28. Who were they? Oh, let's see. Wayne Allard, of course. How about Mitch McConnell from Kentucky? How about John Kyle of Arizona? How about Trent Lott of Mississippi? How about presidential candidate John McCain? Shall we hang on to this one? Shall we remember this one? John McCain voted to eliminate minimum wage altogether. How about presidential candidate Sam Brownback? How about Jim Bunning? How about Saxby Bad Knee Chambliss? I couldn't serve in Vietnam. I had a bad knee. By the way, did you know that my opponent looks a lot like... Well, he hadn't got any arms or legs, but he still looks a lot like Osama. Yeah, that's Saxby Chambliss. And granted, this dirtbag lays in the weeds a lot, but how about Thad Cochran of Mississippi? How about John Cornyn of Texas? Craig and Crapo of Idaho? How about Jim Demented of South Carolina? How about Ensign of Nevada? Enzy of Wyoming? How about that noble Republican moderate from South Carolina? How about Lindsey Graham? How about, and see, I try to warn you guys, you know, because we hear things like, well, you know, if you want an easy job, if you want a job with job security, whatever the hell he said, if you want one of those, start selling shoes. We're going, yeah, Chuck Hagel, man, you're cool. Why don't you come over and be a Democrat? You're our kind of people. How about Chuck Hagel? Chuck Hagel voted to absolutely, utterly eliminate the minimum wage. Bart Kopp's favorite senator, Jim Inhofe. Johnny Isaacson of Georgia, Sununu, New Hampshire, Thomas, Wyoming. 28 of them. 28 of them. Coburn. You remember Coburn, Oklahoma, the junior senator of Oklahoma? The guy who, when he was campaigning, said that there was rampant lesbianism in the junior high schools of the state of Oklahoma. This is one worth hanging on to. This is one worth beating them with, especially Sam Brownback, especially John McCain. Lamar Alexander? What did they resurrect him to come and vote? Oh, wait a minute, I've got to put my flannel shirt on before I can vote. That's my voting flannel shirt, my flannel voting shirt. I mean, this is a who's who of Republican weirdness. And, you know, dear leader was sitting up in the White House. Yeah, kind of makes me wish I was a senator. I'd like to go and vote against the minimum wage. Orrin Sacred Underwear Hatch, Utah. Oh, brother. And there are names in here that are frequently mentioned in conjunction with the word moderate. Would someone please be so kind as to explain to me what is moderate about wanting to return to slavery? Oh, you rotten... Buy billboards. You know what's weird? I got to go back and look at this list again. Here we go. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe he was sick. Where's Jeff Sessions in this? Where's Richard Shelby? Because Jeff Sessions has his own little bit of weirdness coming. In the midst of the debate of the non-binding, toothless exercise in futility, because the Republicans are going to filibuster and we're going to let them filibuster it because we're not mean like the Republicans. We won't take away their filibuster and we won't talk about nuclear options in the Senate. In the midst of the debate about the resolution decrying dear leader's sending of 20, 30, God knows by the time he's done, it'll probably be 100,000 more souls into the sandy meat grinder that is Iraq, Jeff Sessions, that's Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions III of Alabama, announced today that he has intentions of introducing a non-binding resolution of his own that would say that we just believe the actions of George W. Bush in sending more of somebody else's sons and daughters to go and get their limbs blown off in Iraq is why we think it's hunky-dory and we wish he'd do it some more. Be darned if his name isn't on... Well, you know, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. Because Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions III, the man who said, you know, I used to think the Klan was kind of cool till I found out they smoked dope. Really, that's my favorite. That's just my favorite. Somehow managed to, like I said, he must have been sick. Or had a committee meeting or something. But he managed to stay off the list, and I am just surprised. But that's where we begin tonight. That's where the weirdness begins. And you know, we need to have the minimum wage discussion. And, of course, you know where I stand on this. I find it patently offensive that we're, you know what? We love the peasants so much, we are going to give them a $2 raise 2 years from now. Yippers, going to do it. $2. Don't spend it all in one place. Horse hockey. Someday, oh, why'd they have to kill Paul Wellstone? Why'd they have to kill Paul Wellstone? I feel confident that he would stand up and say, you hypocritical monkeys. You're going to raise the minimum wage. You're going to raise the minimum wage to $14 an hour. And even that is insufficient. No, they killed Paul Wellstone. How do I know? Well, because the College Republicans bragged about it. You remember that, don't you? The one little creep who came out and said, "Oh, we told him we'd deliver the Senate seat in Minnesota for the Republicans. We had to kill Paul Wellstone to do it, but we did." I'm not making it up. This isn't my little paranoid conspiracy theory. I'm going on the words of the leader of the College Republicans. We delivered Minnesota for the Republican Party. We had to kill Paul Wellstone to do it. You know, this is the vote that they had. We'll take a break in a second. This is the language. All it took. 28 senators. How far away is that from enough to repeal the minimum wage? Not that far if you think about it. Jesus, did we even get 28 Democratic senators willing to filibuster Samuel Alito? But the Republicans can march lockstep and pull up 28 votes to eliminate minimum wage? Notwithstanding any other provision of this section, an employer shall not be required to pay an employee a wage that is greater than the minimum wage provided for by the law of the state in which the employee is employed and not less than the minimum wage in effect in that state on January 1st, 2007. That was it. Lord God, if there wasn't a Democratic Senate in place, as Bob Geiger notes, what would have happened today? What would have happened today? That is more than half, well more than half of the Republican members of the United States Senate. And they voted to overturn the minimum wage altogether. You feel good about that? I don't feel so good about that. Tell you what, we'll take our bottom of the hour break. I'm going to try to just sort of walk this one off. We'll come back. Your phone calls are more than welcome, you know that. 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm an eighth old man, I'm Henry the eighth I am. Second verse, same as the first. I'm Henry the eighth I am, Henry the eighth I am, I am.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right, they include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
No. Don't pot it down until we get to the shabba-dooby-dabby-dooby part. It just rocks. Rocks my brain. Oh, that's a rotten thing to do. Oh, shabba-dooby-dabby-dooby-twinkle. Ugh, I hate that. You know, we've only been married for almost 14 years now, and sometimes I think my darling Agnes doesn't understand. you know, under the right circumstances, they'd probably give me medicine for obsessive compulsive disorder. But I'll have that stinking thing in my head for God only knows how long. I mean, it's the musical equivalent. It's with the sharp stick and the poke, 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 poke. Starshine. Oh, well, you know. Thank you, dear. Can't tell you. Well, you know, where's the webcam? You're number one in my book, dear. okay, we're off to a roaring start with the Republican gang of 28 who hate living wages for working people. Is
Chuck Hagel. You know, doesn't it? I've seen it a couple of different places online. You know, why won't Chuck Hagel just come on over and be a Democrat? That's why. But then again, the only thing I'm surprised at is that I haven't seen Joseph Lieberman's name on that list. You know, that whole lurch noise. And frankly, you know, I don't know. Again, maybe he was off at a nudie bar with Jeff Sessions and they missed the vote together. You just don't know that kind of thing. But that's not the end of it. Oh, no. We are up to our eyeballs in sleazy Republicanism this evening. You know, As I mentioned, sitting there channel surfing with Dan a little earlier today, we stopped on C-SPAN 2 for a little bit. And I caught newly minted Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri opining on George Bush and his health care plan as laid out in the State of the Union the other night. Kind of gives a whole new meaning to laid out, because what he aims to do is kill the health care plans of people what have them. You did pick that up, right? We're going to give you a $15,000 deduction if you don't have health care. We'll give you a $15,000 deduction so you can deduct it from your taxes. See, we're giving you a tax cut. Dang, I'm good. Only problem is, that's a deduction, which means it would apply to people, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm one of the few people who will admit when he's wrong, who sits behind a microphone. Well, you know, your liberals will, your progressives will. There are a few of us. Not wrong very often, but we'll admit when we are. God knows the Republicans won't. But if I understand correctly, that's a tax deduction, not an exemption. You know, it's not like when you fill out the 1040 EZ and they say, how many kids do you have? And you go, 1, 2, 3, 4. And so, you know, some of, you know, therefore your rate is calculated differently and you get a little bit of a break. No, this is a tax deduction, which means you have to itemize. And unless you've got a lot of itemizable debt, there's just not a whole lot of sense in itemizing. You go do the 1040A or the 1040 EZ, and you get done with the darn thing, and they hand you this thing in the little H&R Block folder, and you walk away, and you have to, right. But you're going to get a $15,000 deduction. But you've got to have however much it costs to buy the daggum health insurance in the first place. I mean, do you see what a mean-spirited, rotten little slap in the face that was? You gotta understand these reptilicans, these republicans. They sit around all day twiddling their barely opposable thumbs, sitting on their prehensile tails, trying to come up with mean things to do to people who go to work for a living. It's absolutely astonishing after a while. On and on and on in this latest one, because that's just the crappy front end of the Bush health care plan. You don't have enough money to afford health care, but I'm going to give you a tax deduction for it. But since you don't itemize, you're not going to get that either. I'm the decider. It's enough to make you scream. But the back end of that is the really serious part. The back end of that is the part that they were really tickled about. The back end of the Bush healthcare proposal was almost as mean, nasty, and sleazy as Wayne Allard's proposal to just, well, you know, we're having this minimum wage debate, and I'm tired of it, and I think the best way to get rid of it is just to get rid of the minimum wage. Baby, meet bathwater, and you're both going out the window. No, because if you were paying attention, you were. You saw the reference to the taxable income part of the proposal. Oh, and, that, and by the way, that wasn't aimed at your Walmart heir. That wasn't aimed at your Home Depot CEO. No, no. The proposal is that we're going to tax people whose health insurance plans are provided by someone else. And the way it is typically laid out is that, well, you know, if you're, and I mean, I heard it said, if your employer provides you with your health care, that's going to be taxable income. Well, you know, they say it in terms of employer. That isn't what they mean. What they really mean is if your union has a health care plan, they're going to tax it. Because you see, to the same extent that the radical, hateful, right-wing, Republican response to an increase in the minimum wage is just a move to eliminate the minimum wage altogether, the hateful, radical, Republican, right-wing response to talking about health care for all Americans is to try to destroy health care for those who have it. The way they operate. And you see, there's a little something banging around Congress. We haven't gotten where we need to be with it yet. But it's called the Employees Free Choice Act. And in some circles, it is referred to as a card check law. And what that means is when a business or when, you know, some workers are, and, you know, I may have to be straightened up or this may have to be fleshed out a little bit. But if there's a move afoot to organize a workplace and the cards go out and you check, yes, I want to be in the union, count the cards. If there's more than 50% of them that say, yeah, bang, union in. You know, next question. Well, the Bush administration is terrified, I tell you, terrified, the prospect of that bill passing. And as a consequence of that, they are trying to get ready for it. And their idea of getting ready for it is to kill the unions before the unions have a chance to start a monumental organizing outreach. For instance, come join our union, okay? You need to belong in a union. You need to belong to a union. You need to, you know, we've got health care. We've got a pension benefit. We've got a real, live, honest-to-God pension that you can count on being there, blah, 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 blah. What's the Republican response? What's the Chamber of Commerce response? Because you can see their filthy hands all over this. Chamber of Commerce response is to say, you don't want to join that union. That just means you'll have to pay more taxes. If you join the union, your taxes will go up because those health care benefits are taxable income. My God, my God, my God. They don't let up. I know. My friends, that's class warfare. Yeah, it is. And you know what? You know who's doing all the warring? The minimum wage isn't class warfare. A card check law isn't class warfare. But increasing taxes on somebody because they had the common good sense to join a union when they could maybe that's the worst kind of class warfare, and it's the kind of class warfare that's been going on for way over 100 years in this country. How much have you seen of this in the mainstream media? How much? How often? How many breathless stories delivered by Wolf Blitzer? How many perky news reports? How many perky readers by Paula Zahn? Has Katie Couric delivered a serious yet somehow pixie-ish 15-second blurb on this? No, not the fact that he mentioned it, but what it means. See, this is what Republicans, and this is what they're good at. They're going backwards. They are going in reverse. We want to increase union membership. We want to increase decent standards of living. We want to increase decent rates of pay. Republican response is, of course, to tax your health care benefits. But of course, the truly fun part of all of this is that there's a whole bunch of voters out there who'll say, you know, I hear that Senator Brownback loves Jesus. I have also heard that Democrats eat Bibles. And so no matter what they do, voting against, voting to eliminate the minimum wage, voting to hoping to get a chance to vote to tax a person's health care benefits, doesn't matter. They love Jesus. They're pro-family. The beautiful example of that, was it Wolf Blitzer? Oh, or was it Chris Matthews? No, it's Chris Matthews, I think. That referred to John McCain and said, well, he's pro-family because he's a true conservative. And it's just another one of those whoops-getter screamers. How do these people get away with it? You know, as Keith Olbermann said about Bill O'Reilly, why does he still have a job? I mean, I'll say some crazy crap from time to time on this program, but you know what? You wouldn't let me last a week if I came out and used shoddy reasoning like he's pro-family because he's a true conservative. There's pro-family legislation out there. The Republicans in the Senate killed some of it just yesterday. Oh, yeah. Now, which is more pro-family? A bill that says an invisible thing sitting on some agar, is it agar that goes in the petri dish? The stuff, an invisible thing sitting on some gelatin in a petri dish is deserving of more reverence than a full-blown human being. Is that more pro-family than a bill that says people who have worked who work for a living for $5.15 an hour deserve to go to 7 1/4? Which, I mean, you know, we'll just sit there, you know, scales of justice, blind sword, all that stuff. And we'll balance the two, and we'll have pro-family on one side, not pro-family on the other. Yeah, okay, minimum wage bill, pro-family. Petri dish bill, waste of time. So, you know, once again, it would appear that we were getting our, we're in the majority and we're still getting our butts kicked. We're getting our butts kicked linguistically. We're giving away the fight. Oh, he's pro-family because he's a true conservative. Yeah, because the true liberals, you know how I like my baby? Low-roasted. Let me see if I can remember some of the French cooking terms from the last Tony Bourdain book I read. Ah, yeah, Monte au Beurre. Or maybe fricasseed baby. Because, see, I'm a true liberal, therefore I can't possibly be pro-family. I eat babies. What is this? Baby. One of my favorite lines from one of my favorite books, Aztec, by Gary Jennings. Walking along in the desert. What is this? Baby. Baby what? Baby. Liberal Indian. Oh, God. You know, but, you know, we're an hour into the program and I'm going to put my foot through a window. Why do the American people tolerate this? Where are the pitchforks and torches for the 28 Republican senators who voted to eliminate the minimum wage? Where's even the 15-second reader about that? In the midst of all this, you're going to get a tax break of $15,000 to pay for your own health insurance. Where is the discussion of the fact that the people who already have damned good health insurance are going to get taxed for having it? Hear the crickets? And, of course, in mentioning, and I don't know, I need to get somebody on here to talk about the Employees' Free Choice Act. But the fact of the matter is, we tried to raise the minimum wage, and the Republicans told the Senate majority, no, you can't. And Harry Reid sat there and said, well, they've told us we can't, so we can't. Sorry, working poor, you stay at $5.15 an hour, and you just better, by God, be grateful that we didn't decide to vote along with those other 28 Republicans and eliminate the minimum wage altogether. Dig? We let the Republicans in the Senate filibuster the minimum wage. And no, Harry wasn't standing up there talking about the nuclear option of eliminating, because, you know, if he had, I'm sure, you know, Mary Landrieu and Blanche Lincoln and Olympia Snow and Susan Collins and Robert Byrd and Ben Nelson and who knows who has stood up, oh, we can't eliminate the filibuster. Who says we have to? But then again, that really does define the difference between Republicans and Democrats, doesn't it? It defines the difference between the Bible Tract Society and the Stump Licker Bunch, doesn't it? You see, the Republicans, when they were in the majority, said, if you filibuster, we're going to destroy the filibuster forever. Don't you dare filibuster Samuel Alito. Don't you dare filibuster this fine, upstanding, godly man who advocates allowing cops to shoot unarmed black teenagers in the back at a range of 30 feet. Don't you dare filibuster that man. And we say, okay, we won't. Please don't hit us anymore. We might cry. So now, since November the 7th, the shoe is on the other foot. And we tried to raise the working poor's hourly wage by a paltry $2.10 over the course of 2 stinking years. And the Republicans said, ha-uh, not going to do it unless we get some tax giveaways, sugar.
We said, okay, we won't do it. Please don't be mean to us. We won't raise the poor's wages. Please, just don't talk loud. It scares us and makes our bowels all wild. Jesus.
You going to get involved in this tonight? You're welcome to if you want to. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. I'm disgusted. And I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. Combat tours for 3,200 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan will now be extended by 4 months. Defense Secretary Robert Gates met with top military commanders last week who asked for an increase in troops. NATO will also add another combat brigade, according to a top NATO commander. Leaders in Afghanistan will not allow the country's heroin-producing poppy fields to be sprayed with herbicide in spite of pressure from the United States. President Hamid Karzai received pressure from Afghan lawmakers who feared there would be a popular backlash against them in light of the companies that make that the country's record crop of opium last year. President Bush will ask Congress for another $10.5 billion for extra security and reconstruction in Afghanistan since the U.S.-led invasion against the Taliban back in 2001. America has provided more than $14 billion in such aid. Senate Democrats are hesitant about President Bush's upcoming request for just over $1 billion for Iraqi reconstruction. There are concerns about how the money will be used. In Lebanon, at least 3 people were killed in the third day of violence between pro- and anti-government supporters. Today's clashes were at and around the campus of Beirut's Arab University, where students threw rocks, sticks, and other objects. Reports say between 35 to as many as 100 were reported injured. Afterwards, the military put a nighttime curfew in place for the first time since 1996. In central Baghdad today, 26 people were killed by a suicide car bomb blast. That occurred in a mostly Shiite neighborhood. 54 were wounded. A soldier from the 101 Airborne Division pleaded guilty today in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to the murder of 3 Iraqi detainees. He was sentenced to 18 years in prison. In Mumbai, Russian President Vladimir Putin met with India's Prime Minister to discuss a multi-billion dollar arms deal. Putin offered to build 4 nuclear reactors for India, and the 2 countries signed deals on energy, scientific, and space cooperation. Moscow is also promising to construct 4 nuclear reactors in the country. You are listening to the Quality News Network. A look at science and business news is just ahead. Now, this message.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The new formula for Crisco, the first change in 95 years, will no longer contain trans fats. Medical research has shown that trans fats can increase the risk of heart disease because they raise bad cholesterol and lower the good. Democratic Senator Barack Obama, who is considering a 2008 presidential run, said within the next 6 years, every American should have health care coverage. At a conference today, he said, quote, "The time has come for universal health care in America," unquote. The Labor Department reports that the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits went up last week to 325,000, reversing the large declines of the previous 2 weeks. Nintendo credited sales of its wildly popular Wii game console for a 43% increase in year-end profits. Japanese company posted a net profit of $1.1 billion for 2006. Nintendo is also launching an online news service which will provide top news stories and photos from the Associated Press on its new Wii video game console. Wii News Channel will begin on Saturday. Light sweet crude oil trading at $54.23 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That's down $1.14. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 119 points at 12,502. NASDAQ down 32 points. The S&P 500 down 16. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, wait a minute. What age is it? Oh, my God. But we will, you know, we'll get through it. You know, look, I'm sorry. It just astonishes me, because every now and then I do look up and I go, what's the date? Yeah, 2007? And we're still talking. Never mind. I am informed that David is on the phone, so let's go to the phones by all means. David, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I call this the top this era.
Yeah, well, it's top this or sort of bottom this, or, you know, how low can you go? How mean can you get?
Well, what I mean by top this era, I mean on all levels. I mean on wealth, on power, on levels of immorality. It's everything top this. And, you know, I think personally we can blame this on what the media has fed us for this long. Look what they did, you know, just to give an example, look what they did to A&E. They turned it inside out with reality shows.
Sure. And, well, I mean, you know, pick a channel. Like I was going off last night about future weapons on the Discovery Channel. You know, when the Discovery Channel started, David, it had cool stuff about dinosaurs on it.
You say, there you go. And again, everyone's
we've gone from dinosaurs to grenades.
You know, the problem is, and you know the funny thing is that they gave these reality shows a chance, and they'll put them on the air and everything, and I know it's because they're inexpensive, but they'll put a show on the air, and they'll run it for a few weeks or whatever, whether it's something that's really important, like that's something really important, historic, or if it's not on the History Channel or something, and if it's something, and the only way you can put it is HBO or Cinemax or what have you. On these upper tier channels where you have to pay premium prices, and I noticed the History Channel does a lot of I don't know, I don't want to say propaganda, but I will, because I was watching a show, and they were asking where Osama is, and they said, and then it had like the answer thing. It has, we have no, Osama's whereabouts is not known. It had like it looked like something from COINTELPRO. They had the screen decked out, and I was like, This is a documentary? I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. This isn't a documentary. This is propaganda.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is propaganda. And I'm like, again, it goes beyond with Osama. They don't even explain, like, they don't dare, Bob, they don't even dare explain the ties of Osama to the Bush family. They don't. They just skip right over that. They go, well, he was in the construction business. His father was in the construction business, and then he bombed the USS Cole.
It's like, well, which reminds me, have you been keeping up with the flap about the Bush Presidential Library, David?
You know, I don't think I keep telling people I wouldn't want it. That's like somebody asking for Showgirls too.
Ishtar, the adventure continues.
Do you want to fund Showgirls, too? And he'll be like, nah, it's okay.
No, I'll pass, thanks. But I saw a list. I saw a list of the people who have donated these bajillions of dollars to the George W. Bush Presidential Library and Policy Center.
You know, Bob, I found something that scared me. I didn't think I'd hear it on the radio. Is this show called Troop Talk Radio? You already know where this one's going.
Oh, no.
They have an ex-corporal, and he's talking about, or lieutenant corporal, whatever, and he's talking about radical Islam, and he talks to troops on the ground. You know who's funding this one? Pentagon. Where else is it from? The Florida area. And by the way, people, it's being syndicated on the weekend, so they have a lot of these knuckle draggers here thinking that this is the perception of the troops. And it sounds so scripted. I'm like, you guys are doing a lot of good there, aren't you? What are you going to say? No, we suck.
Yeah, we bite.
I mean, we suck. What, wow, man, I mean, and you look on the site, and the guy, I mean, it's so shameless, these people. It's, you see the red, white, and blue, and the eagle in the corner, and it says Troop. You got to, I'll send you the link to it, Troop Talk Radio. You'll just be like, what the? Is this real?
Yeah, I'll take my medicine first, David.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, which I think is, that should be noticed, is all of a sudden, these crops of intelligence analysts, or what I like to call snake oil salesmen, where they don't really have any intelligence at all, but you can't call them ignorance analysts. And basically what they do is they just, you know, they have nice blocky graphics, they have the nice patriotic symbols, and they're putting, I guess, a summit together. And if you see the list of people, you'll be like, This can't be. These people aren't reputable. And the funniest thing about it, though, at the top it says nonpartisan. Give me a break. You want to take down radical Islam and you call it nonpartisan? Contradiction of terms, there, guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's like the Unity 08 people, David. I don't know if you've seen them or not. They're going to put together a unity ticket with one Democrat and one Republican on it, and they're nonpartisan. They don't believe in partisan politics. Partisan politics is killing America. And, you know, when I hear crap like that, I know it's got to be Republican.
I know. That's the whole thing. I mean, a lot of people, they think – and another tactic that people say when I'm on message boards, we need to stop this bickering. You need to stop this bickering. The destruction of a country and mostly right-wing media is in control, and or corporate media or whatever you want to call it, is mostly in control, and we need to stop this bickering. Like, we can't have a dialogue. I mean, if we stop it, we might as well get some surf outfits.
Well, but what they mean by stop this bickering is we need to let us have our way.
Yeah. You know, one thing that surprises me is, I don't know if you know, but the son of Learjet, John Lear,
mm-hmm.
He's actually on a message board, and he's actually talking a lot of stuff that I agree with, and then some stuff is just really, really, really bizarre. It's always those people with $1 billion or so. He was talking about how the U.S. had hid nukes in Iran. I mean, and he goes on and on. And I was like, where do you get your facts from? I mean, it had a good starting point, but like I said, you know, it just dived into Crazyville, where I just really, I mean, nobody's going to listen to it. And
it's sad to say, David, but there's that wonderful exchange between Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald in A Movable Feast, where F. Scott Fitzgerald says, "The rich are very different from you and me." They're not. They've just got more. They've got more money, and sometimes that money will buy them a bigger megaphone. We've got a classic case going on here in West Virginia. I don't know if you remember Jack Whitaker, the guy who won the Powerball jackpot a few years ago on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
It was the biggest Powerball jackpot of all time, and now he has a suit going on against one of the local banks around here, saying that he can't afford to pay the settlement he reached with, like a stripper from a strip club or something that he was rude to when he was drunk, because somebody's stolen all of his money by writing hot checks on his account. You know, sometimes the money buys you more, but sometimes the money buys you, well, it bought him a lot of fame, and it bought him a lot of attention, and he turned, let's see, his granddaughter's dead, her boyfriend is dead, he's been busted for DUI a couple of times, busted for brawling in strip bars, and was walking around with briefcases with $200,000 or $300,000 in it.
You know, another thing that I have to mention is that Cheney thing with Wolf Blitzer.
I think that's over the line. Wasn't that the line?
Yeah, I think that's over the line. Well, Mike Malloy did a good, he did a good breakdown of all basically the whole conversation. But one thing that I noticed is that instead of talking about Cheney's daughter, and I understand she's a lesbian and all of that, but that's kind of retarded when you think about the problem we have with Katrina. And, I think more people should be outraged that the president spent a paragraph on a woman who started a company called Baby Einstein instead of talking about that's baffling to me, about New Orleans.
Well, I've got nothing against Dikembe Mutombo either.
Oh, I don't either, but I'm saying...
Okay, but if you've got time for Dikembe Mutombo, you've got time for Katrina.
They did it deliberately because there's nothing they could say. It would just bring attention to the disaster that is there. And people would say, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, what is happening, Katrina? Time to do an update. Let's wheel out Anderson Cooper. Get down there. Do some poetry for the camera.
You know, there's going to come a time when Anderson Cooper is just like Captain Christopher Pike.
How so?
They'll just roll him to wherever the disaster is, and he can just beep once for outrage, beep red for outrage, green for sympathy, and beep in the middle for go to break.
Well, I think the biggest problem.
I'm worn out with a lot of them, David.
Oh, I understand completely. I mean, and that's where in the independent media, this is my problem. Did you see what Air America did to Sam Steeder? They put him on notice for talking bad about Armstrong Williams because he was on the station, conflict of interest. And they threatened to take him off the air. And then I guess they got a lot of response back. I mean, that's...
Well, there's a reason why we bill ourselves as the liberal network now.
I understand. I think, if I was Sam, I'd start, because, that thing's going to happen again. We have the conflict of interest. I mean, it's creeping up on people who have that mentality really, really badly now. I mean, people are going to have to go more and more toward independent and progressive media. I'm sad to say that. Well, not sad to say it in that respect, but I'm sad to say that they're going to have to jump off to maybe expect something that would be able to handle them. And I don't know. Sam Steeder, to me, he's on that borderline. It's like he's not like totally to the point where Mike Malloy is, where he'll say things that strongly, but he is saying things again. It's blurring the line. A lot of these corporations, a lot of these corporations got scared just on mentioning his name alone.
Well, see, that's I guess my take on that, David, is that handing somebody like Sam Steeder a warning over Armstrong Williams. My God, how do you stay off of Armstrong Williams? And I don't want to goon on sex workers, but the guy's a whore.
But
he just is.
But you know what's funny is that if WWRL is smart, which again Lionel's making fun of how bad the New York radio business and how stupid people are, but if they were smart, they would fuel this feud because radio's like wrestling. Two anchors are battling on the same network. But no, they don't do that.
And it's good for, you got to tune into Armstrong to see what sleazy thing he'll say about Sam.
That's what I'm saying. But no, they said, all right, that's enough of that. Move along. There's nothing to see here. Don't mention his name again.
Well, but again, that goes to prove that there are bean counters and ad salesmen running Air America. Not anybody who knows anything about radio.
That's true, and I think that is coming home to a close. If Air America just get with the program and get more, I'm not going to say left, but get more critical thinking. What? That doesn't happen, and that's another thing. For some reason, a lot of people want to label critical thinking left, which doesn't even make any sense to me. They just want to jump to a position and say, "That's it, we're done." And you bring it up, you say, "Why are you thinking like that? Stop thinking left like that. We've decided already. We're going to attack Uranus. We're going to attack Saturn." And you just sit there and go, but you have to have some kind of debate or challenge on it. And a lot of people will just sit there and just be like the opposite.
Well, that's the thing. We've gotten to a place in this country, David, where we don't have to debate it.
You know, Lionel, I was listening to the radio, and someone brought up an interesting point. They were talking about how badly the Democrats and the Republicans were, it was some Republican op-ed guy, but he was talking to a consultant, and he actually said this. He said, why aren't the candidates going out more to places? And why aren't they, and he was just like animated. He's like, why aren't they going to places? Why aren't they going out on their publicity tours? Meet and greet people. And the guy turned to him, this consultant in TV, top notch or what have you, and he said, didn't you realize that cameras are the new people?
Oh, that's good.
I know. And on that note, that truly is the Truman Show.
And we're all Truman.
Yeah, we're all Truman.
Well, David, good to hear from you. Thank you for all your thoughts. I always appreciate it. And
no problem.
Well, winter has finally arrived in Maine, has it not?
Yeah, before I go, are you on a different phone line?
I'm in a different place.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Because it sounded like you were talking to me from the Zanzibar province or something.
No. It's actually Hospice of Southern West Virginia. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Well, you take it easy, man.
You too.
All right, later.
I owe you, David. You gave me Showgirls 2.
Yeah, Showgirls 2. That's right.
I'm hanging on to that one.
If it does come out, Bob, you know it's going straight to DVD. Or straight to...
And if I rent it, I'm going straight to hell, you know.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We'll see you, David.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye now. Let's keep it rolling. Susan, for call in from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
I ran across a little goodie that you might be interested in from Media Matters about that health insurance plan. It's a brief quote. Says the 35% of households under age 65 who do not owe any income tax would likely get no tax benefit for purchasing health insurance because their current reduction in payroll taxes would be largely offset by reduced Social Security benefits in retirement.
They're going to find a way to kill Social Security yet, aren't they?
Uh-huh. Apparently, your Social Security benefits go down by approximately the same amount as your, quote, deduction. Now, just isn't it cute? Grr.
Yeah, big time grr. Like I said, they sit around thinking of mean crap to do.
Yeah, that's why I did it. This is going up. I got to put this up. There's no way I can avoid that. People need to know about this. I wonder if it's...
Oh, I think so.
I'm going to...
Where'd you find it?
Anyway, I'm glad Media Matters caught it.
Oh, yeah, Media Matters. I'm sorry. Well, it came out of George Bush's mouth, Susan. There had to be something stinking, dirty, rotten, and double-crossing about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I both know if his mouth is moving, he's lying. Unfortunately... there is still about 20-some percent of the United States who believe that idiot. Unfortunately, I think they're the people who are on crack.
Oh, I know. I'm still reeling from the thing I mentioned last night, the CNN reaction piece from the three diehard Bush supporters in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy hears George Bush, him mentioning the health savings accounts or the tax deduction, and he said, well, I reckon it's better than socialized medicine.
I'll give him socialized medicine. Oh, there's also a thing on the blog. It is a translation from, I think this is pronounced right, called Le Monde, an editorial. It's the French reaction to the State of the Union, and the title says it all. He is the nightmare. So it's interesting to read. I suggest people go up and read it.
Oh, yeah. So you put it up on the blog?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll go and have a look at it when the show's over.
Okay. You have a real nice night, and I'll let you get on to other callers.
All right. Thanks so much, Susan. Take care.
You too. You have a nice day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's see. Phil is calling from Daytona Beach, Florida. Phil, thanks for calling the program. I'm sorry we ran out of time last night.
Hi, Bob. Let me get the handset. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you, but it'll work better with the handset.
Hello, Bob. Sorry.
Hello.
I was over. How are you?
Hello? I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, okay. Thanks. Well, first thing, we're trying to hold. We've got buses coming up from Florida to Washington, D.C. for the big rally, and we're still holding the buses. Folks still have a chance tonight to get on the bus and get up and demand that these suits in Washington act. Say again, Ma? Empty suits, my mother says. Janice.
Yes.
Yeah, and you were just having that conversation with David, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the cameras are the people, and my mother goes back to old Bob Newhart days with the sit-down machine. What was the record, Mom? The old LP?
The button-down mind of Bob Newhart?
There you go. And so we were getting I always get a kick at it when Dave calls in. You guys, I could listen to you two all night. but please, folks, anyone listening, there's still time. Get on the internet, if you will, and I believe it's even posted on the Horn website. But if not, CFLVeteransForPeace.org will allow you to reserve a seat on the bus from Florida, which is also stopping in Jacksonville near the Georgia border, actually, to get up to Washington. It's a 1 o'clock. Take off from Daytona Beach Friday tomorrow, pick up in Jacksonville at 3, and then we get into Washington, D.C. Saturday, 9 a.m. $125 for the ticket and $100 for students and teachers. There have been people that can't go but say they want to sponsor a kid. So if you want to donate a ticket, you can do that, too, to help out. But we've got to get up there, Bob. We've got to get the bodies up there.
Well, how many buses are going from down there, Phil?
Right now we're looking at two, you know, and I'm not a professional organizer, and I don't know if I want to be after this experience. But we're looking at two big coaches, and there's still room to get on the bus, and we've got college kids, you know, the emails fly around, and shows like yours will mention it. I just got off the phone with a kid from Miami. He wanted to bring a live rooster, actually, to wake up Congress, he said.
Oh, dear. You know, you said live rooster, and I was afraid there was going to be some sort of Santeria rite, but, you know.
Oh, my God. But really, these hearings, all this talk, hundreds of people are dying every single day while these walking suits in Washington are just talking the talk, and you got to get up there, people. Find a way to Washington Saturday, and make some noise. And
you're going up for the Saturday rally and then turning around and coming back.
The buses are, yes, because it's a good 16-18 hour drive, you know. But people of all ages are getting on the bus. Real old people. People that remember Vietnam, somebody just said that 30% of the population was born after Kennedy was killed. 30% of our present population, and, you know, I'm thinking, what's wrong with these young people? they weren't even born with Vietnam, so they don't get it. They don't have a comparison to realize it's all happening again. You know, and that's, oh, gee, Bob.
I do understand, and frankly, I know some of the suit types say, well, you know, you don't understand. This is a deliberative process. We have to talk about this. We have to reach consensus and compromise in order to. And frankly, I have no patience for it whatsoever, Phil. None whatsoever.
My mom's right here, Janice Henry, who actually told my girlfriend Kathy about Code Pink a year or so ago and sent her a bumper sticker, and it's grown ever since. And she's a former Republican, Bob, and she, Mom, do you want to talk to these folks on the radio? No, she's peeling something in the kitchen. I'm sure she'd want to talk, but
I understand, but. I'm hoping this has some impact. I sincerely hope that it does. I hope there are enough people there to make people sit up and take notice. I personally would be there if there was any way humanly possible for me to be. I feel like I'm kind of talking the talk but not walking the walk by not being there, but it
you
is absolutely serving, impossible at this
you
time,
are
Phil.
Serving such an important part in this whole thing by having the Head On Radio Network available for those of us to call in and get this. If the Head On Radio Network's not there operating where you guys are, no one's hearing about this bus, Bob. This is you're in a very important role right now, what you're doing and where you're at. Extremely crucial. And whoever's Agnes, I don't know who's posting the stuff on the Horn Radio Network site where you folks posted our message about these buses and other things going on. If you folks aren't there in West Virginia doing that, man, there's people don't even know this thing's going on. You are in a
well. That's
critical
position. Susan and Gene, Phil. They're out in Oregon, and they carry that weight on their own shoulders to do the blogging for us, because there's no way we'd possibly have time to do it if they didn't.
Well, there you go. People are in critical positions right now, and Susan, thank you. I got to get her. I got to get David mentioned or. One of the callers mentioned Iran, attacking Iran. This whole sideshow that they're doing right now is a effing sideshow. They're sending another carrier group over there. There's already been a couple of attempts to attack Iran.
Well, you know the tours of duty got extended by, what, 4 months in Afghanistan?
Yes.
That was just that. You know, it was just on the top of the hour news. These people aren't cowed. They lost the Congress, but they frankly don't care because they weren't working with the Republican Congress either. They see Congress as being as a superfluity. They see it as meaningless. That it's something that's in their way or to be ignored at the very most, but certainly not acceded to or shared power with.
And that's our Bob. I was telling somebody last night, they've been interviewing us down here lately, Congress and everything, the way it's all supposed to work, has long been corrupted. And the bottom line is, and the founding fathers all made these quotes, you know, it's a republic if you can keep it, the responsibility for what goes on in our name lies on us, the American people, you know. So we can blame Congress and we can say, oh, they're all bought off or they're not doing their job. Well, guess what? They're going to continue to be bought off by the military-industrial complex, and they're going to continue to sit there and blow smoke on TV and say one thing and not do another. And they're, you know, and people will continue to die in our name as long as we don't get out there like Molly Ivan said with the pots and pans and for the flyer that UFPGA is the main flyer. It says right here, UFPJ, United for Peace and Justice, UnitedForPeace.org. Join us for a massive march on Washington. Now get this wording: to tell the new Congress, act now to end the war. Now is the time for action, blah, blah, blah. Clear message to bring the troops home. We have to make them act on our behalf. And we can.
We have to make them represent us.
Exactly. And so in that respect, we are responsible. And anyone that's hearing our conversation right now, Bob, and hadn't had this information prior to this, you got this information now, you know better now, and you are responsible. And that is something we can do in our own parking lot. We can do in our own shopping center. We can engage our neighbor, engage our fellows. And that's probably more effective than trying to engage your family Republican side of your family, because you just ain't never going there. You know, it's a waste of time. Work
right
on somebody that you can have an effect on, and we have to engage our fellows and say, look, now you know you are responsible. If you stay silent and you don't try to do something about it, you are complicit.
Well, everything points. You're absolutely right in what you say, Phil. And everything points directly toward more hostilities, more violence, more bloodshed, more killing, if we don't get this part stopped.
Well,
you know, that's why I am very, very suspicious of this phased redeployment, where we're going to go to the borders, or we'll go
Iran
to Kuwait, or we'll
it's
take
Iran
the troops.
It's Iran.
Yeah, I don't want these people restaged for an attack on Iran.
It's already happening. Everything is already in motion. It's not. It's happening. I don't think people get the urgency of what you and I are talking about right now. It is happening, people. We got to stop talking and start acting. We've got to get in action. I'd like to submit to Susan if maybe she can email me or you through me or something, me through you. This thing that I made it, the Ron Paul was on the floor of the House, you know, 10-term Republican congressman from Texas, one of the senior members of the House, openly on the floor of the House of Representatives a week and a half ago, warning us of a staged Gulf of Tonkin incident to initiate the Cheney-PNAC wing of the government's war on Iran. Everything's in place, man. They are already there. There have been bombing missions that Israeli jets have flown that have been intercepted. Bombing missions that Israeli jets have already tried to attack Iran, but have been intercepted by U.S. aircraft.
We intercepted them? We stopped them?
Yes. These guys are going for it, and I made this article. What I do is I copy these articles from the internet, and then I paste them into a Word document and reformat it so I can, let's say it's two pages. I reformat it as such where it's a Word document, and then I print them out on my computer. Here comes Kathy. Come on in, Kathy. And print them out on my computer.
Well, you know, email that to me, and I'll make sure it gets to either Gene or Susan. We'll get it up on the blog.
Well, please, folks, get to UnitedForPeace.org website and see where the buses are leaving from your neighborhood to get to Washington. And dig this, Bob. There are local demonstrations throughout the country this Saturday coinciding with the one in Washington for the people who can't get to Washington. And we have one right here in Orlando, Florida as well, with the University of Central Florida. These kids are putting it on. So if you can't make it, send some money to somebody that's trying to make it, you know, get to some, you know, send some money to the Horn to keep them on the air so we can do this, mobilize each other. But please, the urgency, these folks are going for Iran. This whole thing about troop surge and discussions and Senate hearings and, you know, votes that don't mean anything, it's all bullshit. It's a sideshow because the false flag attack on Iran is coming. And when you got a 10-term Republican congressman...
According to what's out there right now, it's April.
It... Cheney,
it's not
Libby,
coming.
Libby,
it's planned in April.
So what are we going to do? Allow it? I mean, they're flat out saying it's coming. Let's stop it, people. Because, I mean, here it's not like it's even, you know, it's not as that secret. I mean, we're getting this information. We have a congressman from the floor of the House of Representatives warning the country. You know, of course, it doesn't get played on the corporate-owned media that owns the same people that make the planes and the bombs and
right, naturally oil. Not.
You know, but he said it. Ron Paul, it's coming. We have to stop this. This is in our name, and if we don't act, we are guilty. We are complicit. We are complicit if we don't try to do something about this. Tell your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor. And when this thing gets on the Horn's blog, people print, download this thing, spend $3 on a ream of 500 sheets of paper, and print out 500 of these flyers and pass them out. That you can do that. You can do that. You can find $3. You can give up a Starbucks cup of coffee, or half a Starbucks cup of coffee, right? $3.
Take one out and take it and have copies made. Absolutely.
There you go. And but make noise, people. And we're getting on the news and we're saying this stuff. I said on the news today. I said the Cheney PNAC wing of the government. You know, you slip stuff in like that. You're talking about the market.
Today I saw, I saw your letter to the editor, and what was it, the Daytona paper?
Yes.
You know, Bart Kopp picked that up.
Yes, thank you so much. And that's what I mean. I think they hear about it through networks like the Horn, and you know, I don't know if you realize how important a service you're doing right now, Bob, the Head On Radio Network. I really don't know if you truly realize how important your network is to this, to perhaps the survival of this country. I know it sounds like I'm talking.
No, I'll be honest with you, Phil. I don't think about that a lot.
No, because you're just doing it, man. You're a true patriot, and you're doing it.
I don't see any other alternative to doing it. As long as we can keep the phones paid for, as long as we can keep the internet turned on, I'll keep doing it. And Agnes will keep doing it. And John and Guy and Mark and Jeff and Joe and Dr. Bill, we will all keep doing it.
So support the Head On Radio Network, people. And you know, that damn TV, I don't know if it really is worth keeping on. We don't have time to watch TV, Bob.
Well, there's nothing there. I mean,
But even if there was something there, we don't have time. Time is too short for what's going down, man.
Well, I think you're very right, and I would, you know what I wish? I wish to the very depths of my soul, Phil. What I wish would happen, and I know people got to get on buses, people got to go home. It's a long ride, all of that. I would like to see something happen on Saturday. I'd like to see Saturday turn into Sunday, Sunday turn into Monday, Monday turn into Tuesday. But I also understand how damn difficult it is for working people to do.
Exactly.
But it's rallies like this.
This is something I've
It's the Creative Nonviolence Program for. Occupying congressional offices.
Yes,
it's time to get serious about this. I mean, lunch counter sit-ins in the civil rights movement weren't done because there was nothing better to do that day.
Correct.
People, you know, there was an indictment handed down today from a 1964 killing.
Yes.
People died in that movement, and this is. For me, I'm crazy enough that I think that protests like this are an extension of civil rights protest. They're not separate from; they are a part of. To the same extent that Dr. King moved from being an organizer in the civil rights movement, he took the civil rights movement to the next level, and he became an anti-war leader, and he became a labor leader.
Yes.
And that's what has to happen here.
And he was a man. He was not just a man. He was a human. Just like any one of us, men, women. I've got three code pinkers in my apartment one right now. One's my mother. She's knitting. What are you knitting, Mom? Code pink scarves. We got Doreen Leone, who's a member of September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. She lost her brother-in-law and the tower's coming down. She's going to be one of our bus coordinators for what's that? She's Military Family Speak Out, and you know, her daughter's in the service, and she's a very active member. They're just walking in my apartment door now. They're just getting back from the weekly demonstration, and she's going to be the code pink bus. What do you call them? Bus person, bus captain, warden. Oh, jeez, bus captain. And then Kathy Bracewell, my fine lady friend here, is the coordinator of Code Pink, a single mom, nurse. You know, Agnes knows how hard nurses work. You know, they work the 10, 12, whatever shifts, right? And, you know, people, you don't have to be, you can do this. You have to do it. You have to turn that damn box off and get out and start saving our country. You know, talk is cheap. We're way past talk. If you're going to be talking, get out there and be confronting, not aggressively confronting, but just have a dialogue with your neighbor, with somebody you bump into in the parking lot.
Well, what's the old saying, Phil? Showing up is half the battle.
There you go. Well, I'm talking your ear off, and I'm you know, cheating other folks out of time.
That's okay, Phil. Thank you for your words. They always mean so very much. And you know, it's doggone it, it's good to hear somebody who's impassioned about something, who is on fire for something, who has real commitment to, my God, you're going to get on a bus and go from Orlando to Washington, D.C., and you and the folks you work with were instrumental in making it happen. I have so much admiration for that. It's easy to sit home. So, you know, Phil, thank you very, very kindly for what you're doing. You deserve the admiration of ever so many others, and I hope you set an example for so many others. Because, you know, if we can get one, we can get two. If we can get two, four, and exponential math from there. Let's go on with the phones. Let's go talk to Sarge in Southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. Haven't talked to you in a while. You doing all right?
Busy and doing an investigation into a nursing home down here. It seems like they're pulling some pretty dirty stuff. And
that's awful.
So I'm fixing to pull Elo in, and we're going to do some investigating to this place, and we're going to see what we can uncover. But
good.
I think what they're doing is they're using the patients. They say they have a 30-day rule where you have to notify them 30 days in advance that you're going to leave the nursing home.
And so people are trying to get out and can't, or
right, and they have doctors that come in, like the one that case that I'm working, the person's doctor will not see them, but in the middle of the month, of each month, that's the only time, if you can believe that.
Oh, that's a little bizarre.
Yes, it is, and this guy. He lied to the police today because I was questioning him and his social worker, and I caught him in a lie. And so they got all bent out of shape, and we all had a little shouting match, and they called the police. Well, the police came, and the police asked him a question, and the director of the place flat out lied to the cop. He told him a bald-faced lie, and he was looking at the paper. It was saying that I was not the contact for the person that was involved, and it turned out I was. And so that was a bald-faced lie right there. I'm going to write a column all about that tomorrow, but that's not really what I want to talk about. I wanted to talk about this march.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited about it, and I hope everybody will get out and support these people. And hey, if anybody wants to, we'll even have us a little virtual march on the internet if they want to. We'll go to the head on chat room, or we'll go to the unreportednews.net chat room, and we'll just have us a virtual march and we'll do our own protest.
Well, that, and if you go to the ufpj.org website, there are other places in the country on Saturday, as Phil mentioned, that will be there will be gatherings there as well. You know, if there's something nearby, by all means, you know, stand shoulder to shoulder with other like-minded individuals, because there is power and affirmation in being together.
Well, you know, if you go to my unreportednews.net and you read Leonard's last article, he mm-hmm. really gives you some really good insight into what it's like to be over there. And if you read his column, you can't help but turn against this thing. If you are in favor of it now, you won't be after you read it.
Well, what is the latest from Leonard?
Leonard is having some problems. They are messing with his paycheck. And his ex-wife is actually helping him survive right now. But he's still fighting, and he's announced his candidacy against John McCain for Senate. So he's still fighting. He said the more they pile on him, the more he wants to fight.
Well, sure. When you get your back up against the wall, you can fight, or you can get cut down.
Yeah, that's true. And Leonard is not one of those that he's going to cut tail and run any more than I am. And I can't understand these right wingers attacking people when they show that they're not going to back away from you. It's just like with Jim Yancey, myself, and those of us working on this Katrina issue. They should have figured out by now that we're not backing away.
Well, there's a lot of us out there. The people who voted this congressional majority in, we didn't vote these people into Congress to watch them back down, and yet there we are. Like I said, the minimum wage got filibustered, got destroyed in the Senate by the Republican Party, and we let them.
Hello.
Yeah, you're there.
Okay, you're cutting in and out. That's why. The thing is, Nancy Pelosi and Reid and Lott, I don't care who it is, Republican, Democrat, Independent, there's one thing that they keep forgetting to say, and what they keep forgetting to say is it's not their decision to make on whether or not to impeach George W. Bush. It is a constitutional law.
It is a requirement upon his commission of high crimes and misdemeanors. It becomes the thing you're supposed to do.
Right. They have no say in it. It's not their decision. It is a matter of the Constitution. So for them to say impeachment is off the table is in violation of the Constitution of the United States.
Well, exactly. It's a violation of the oath.
Right.
You know, the fact of the matter is you can say that impeachment is off the table. But at that point in time, what you've done is you have conceded that the President of the United States is a royal.
Yeah. And the Constitution doesn't apply anymore unless Bush wants it to. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I understand there's a lot of investigations. I talked to Dennis Kucinich personally, and he has assigned a staffer that's going to look into Katrina and contact myself and others. And, of course, I know if Dennis says he's going to send somebody to do it, he's going to do it. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, as well you should be. I get the emailings from Dennis Kucinich, and, you know, among other things, he says that he's, you know, imploring the president to rethink, the escalation of the war, augmentation, whatever the hell we're calling it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have found out, too, Guerrera is now working for Jim. She's working full-time for him, and so now she's got a little bit more comfort zone. And she was telling me that FEMA was ordered to change the locks on those FEMA trailers, and so they did. But what they did was they took a box with locks in it. They went and took off the old lock. They threw it in the same box that the new locks were in. They reached in the box and picked out any lock that happened to be right, their hand happened to hit. And then they put that lock on, and there are people who have two locks on their trailers with different keys. And there are others who have the same old lock on their trailers that they had to start out with. So they didn't do anything but add to the problem.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, did as little as they could get away with within the meaning of the court's order.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and there's more to it. There was Jim was telling me about a man that he's in his 70s, and he's lived on his property, I think it's ancestral even, you know, it goes back 200 years. And he's losing his property, but not only is he losing his property, but the only way he has been able to get his medicine was because Jim Yancey spent Jackson County Community Services Coalition money to get him his medicine. And if it was not for that, the man has not been contacted by Rebuilding Jackson County organization or anybody except for Jim. And Jackson County Community, Rebuild Jackson County had a election for a new leader, a new CEO, or whatever they call it, and they passed over every qualified individual and took someone who had no experience whatsoever in disaster management. Brownie was more qualified than this woman.
Oh, my heavenly days.
So this is what we're still facing down here.
Well, and it's going to be, you know, it's an uphill battle. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
You know, that's the one thing. If it wasn't for Head on Radio and Nova M and all those who allow me time to tell these facts, people would not know about this. And we are making a difference, as I've said before, because we are saving some lives, but we can't save every one of them, because there's just too much corruption. And now Haley Barbour's running all over the United States saying everything is fine down here.
Yeah, but we know better. And
oh,
we know...
But I'm so happy for everybody that's taken an active interest in our Mississippi mission, Betsy and Cassie and TSM and all of those in Texas who are actually taking it upon themselves to get a truckload up themselves. That's beautiful. I hope more people do it. It doesn't have to end on Valentine's Day. There is a truck coming from New Hampshire in March. We can have trucks coming some other time after March. It doesn't matter. We can't stop because the Mississippi mission completes itself. We can keep it going.
Yes. And, well, we'll keep it going until the job gets done. Or at least I'm sure that's the way Jim Yancey's responding to it.
I still ask, deplore. I can't talk anymore. I ask everybody to please contact their senators, their representatives, and tell them we want a Katrina investigation as well as an Iraq investigation, because this is the taxpayers' money being cheated. This is your children's education. This is every social program that we have in this country that's being dismantled, and the people are being done wrong, and they're just stealing the money. We've got to raise our voices.
I agree. Very well said, Sarge. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Bob, and I hope your dad does well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Wow, another hour gone. We'll take a break for the news. When we come back, more of your phone calls, if that's what you want, 877-443-2366. Fill up the lines if you want to, or if not, I got a few more things to scream about. Well, I'm trying not to scream, but, you know, you know what I mean. So jump in if you're so inclined. Email's good, too, bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network, and for that matter, I am Bob Kincaid. Yeah.
This is the Quality News Network. 3,200 U.S. soldiers will be in Afghanistan longer than expected. They're currently finishing a year-long tour, but Pentagon officials have extended the tours for up to 4 more months. And a top NATO commander says another combat brigade will be sent in. The buildup is in preparation for expected Taliban attacks in the spring. President Bush is expected to ask Congress for about $10.5 billion in aid for Afghanistan over the next 2 years. All but about $2 billion of it would be used to train and equip the Afghani police force. The U.S. has already provided more than $14 billion to Afghanistan since 2001. Mr. Bush is also expected to ask Congress for more than $1 billion to help rebuild Iraq. But Senate Democrats remain skeptical. Joseph Biden, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, says he wants to make sure the money doesn't, quote, fuel corruption or the insurgency. In Paris, representatives from 40 countries and organizations have pledged more than $7 billion in aid to Lebanon. That money will be used to help repair the country and its economy. Both were battered during its war with Israel over the summer. Yesterday, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice pledged $770 million to the effort. In Beirut, a fight in a university lunchroom escalated into a riot today, the second since Tuesday. Up to 3 students were killed and dozens others injured. Lebanese troops and tanks later dispersed the crowds, and a curfew is now in effect. In Kentucky today, a U.S. soldier was sentenced to 18 years in prison after pleading guilty to murdering 3 detainees in Iraq last year. He and the 2 others involved in the incident initially told investigators that they were trying to prevent the detainees from escaping, but they all later said that they were ordered to shoot and kill the prisoners. In central Baghdad today, 26 people were killed in a suicide bombing, which occurred in a mostly Shiite neighborhood. In addition, the U.S. military has reported the death of another U.S. soldier today in a roadside bombing near Baghdad. The last of 5 additional U.S. brigades is scheduled to arrive in Baghdad in May. The first brigade arrived last week. Agents from 3 federal agencies, the FBI, ATF, and DEA, are heading to New Orleans to help tamp down the increased violence. Police superintendent says that additional help is needed because New Orleans is losing about 17 police officers each month.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Starting February 1st, power companies in California will no longer be able to buy electricity from sources that emit large amounts of pollutants. The move is aimed at combating global warming and encouraging investment in renewable energy sources. Pacific Gulf Marine has been fined $1 million for dumping untreated waste into Chesapeake Bay. The New Orleans-based cargo ship company will also pay $500,000 for community programs. Ford Motor has posted a nearly $13 billion loss for 2006, the worst in its more than 100-year existence. Falling sales and restructuring costs are being blamed. A record number of people around the world, about 195 million, were unemployed last year. The International Labor Organization also reports that a large number of people who do work make less than $2 a day. Unemployment rolls rose last week by the biggest amount in 16 months. 325,000 Americans applied for jobless benefits last week, up 36,000 from the week before. The National Association of Realtors reports that sales of existing homes were down a larger-than-expected 0.8% in December. However, analysts expect a slow rebound in 2007. Light sweet crude settled at $54.23 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 119 points, NASDAQ down 32, S&P 500 down 16. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
It's 5 after the hour.
Dan. Lucy, you going to jump in and play in the band some more? Agnes?
Yes, Agnes. Dear. Yes, dear.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Well, I just got to cover you, sweetheart. That's my job.
Well, yeah, no, it's I'm a little late getting back, but, yeah, that's okay. Thank you, dear.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You know, I got your back.
Okay. Do we still have anyone on the phone?
Yes, Ricky, we do.
Well, thank you, Lucy.
You're welcome.
Bob's still with us?
Yes, he is, dear. I'll bring him right on.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, about time I was listening to you talk to Lucy there.
I think she's developed a...
I felt like a fly on the wall, you know? But I'll follow Sarge any day. That's what I told my dear Agnes. I told her, I'll follow Sarge. I'll follow him, and I know he'll take my back, and I'll take his back any day in any fight anywhere, and we're in a fight. And he's fighting for his people. He's fighting for his life. He's fighting for the life of the Mississippi coast. And Sarge, I'm with you every step of the way, anything, you know, anywhere, anytime. And son, you know it, I know it, these people got no backbone, but the men that we're talking to, okay, and the women, and this world, I mean, come on, get some backbone, stand up and fight like Sarge does. He fights them every day. He calls them, he nags them, he jumps on them, and he don't quit. And that's what about the old Sarge down there in Mississippi. I'd love to sit down and have a beer with him someday, but maybe I'll never get to see him. I'm up here in North Dakota, and you know what? It was like 42, 43 degrees here today, and they were talking about hitting 50. Come on, global warming's a fact, like John Fox says. It is a fact. There is no denying it. You cannot deny the fact that this planet is heating up so fast we can't cool it down. So we got to quit. We got to quit wasting and start doing things and fixing it, okay? Like old Sarge says, you know, there's people down there, they're suffering. Well, there are people. By God, they're Americans. Every one of them. Black, white, red, green, purple with antennas sticking out the top of their heads. They are Americans, Bob. Every one of them are Americans.
Yeah, darn straight. And frankly, they are entitled to our help before, oh, I don't know, Prime Minister Maliki's government is entitled to our billions. I don't know if you noticed today, but Condoleezza Rice was out there trotting her stuff around saying, we need $8 billion to rebuild Iraq.
Are you talking about feathers? Bob, are you saying kind of sleazy Rice is out there begging for money? That, you know, you're not talking about the jack-booted, high-heeled George Bush, wog, are you? Not that wannabe a black woman that pretends that she's something else and don't know what a black woman really acts like and how a black woman really can be a black woman. Because she's not a black woman. She is just a, I don't know, but, what they used to call them, an Oreo or something like that, you know? She's brown on the outside and white in the middle.
She's a monster.
She is an Oreo.
She's out there peddling it on the street corner, talking about all the billions we need to start rebuilding Iraq.
Well,
you know, I'm sorry. I thought we put a few billions into that before. Maybe that $8 billion would be better spent on the Gulf Coast. You know,
Bob,
but I'm crazy, right?
Bob, you know, hey, you're talking about pimps and hoes here. You know what I mean? You're talking about pimps and hoes, and she's out there. She's just a hoe for the pimp in the White House. He's just a little pimp. That's all he is. He's never been a man. He's selling somebody else's body, and somebody else's body happens to be the body of America and our Constitution and our strength and our courage. And, Bob, I'm like old guy. I talked to old guy James and that old yeller dog Democrat. Oh, God, I love him. I talked to him yesterday, and I said what I had to say. And he came back barking like a real dog, and I loved it. I just got real strong, and in my soul, I know this nation can come back. But every red-blooded American, it doesn't matter, black, white, red, indifferent, brown, our brown brothers from the south of the border that they keep calling this Georgie boy, this squatting chimp in the White House, he wants to make them Tejanos or whatever, you know. They're Americans too. They're more American than most of these white Anglo-Saxon Protestant punks that think that the nation of America was founded on their backs. And it was founded on the backs of the black American slaves that were brought here to build a pleasant life for these Nazis, these filthy wogs, these Republicans. And I will never call them anything except that when I meet one, I just say, you're just another Republican, aren't you? You're just a pig. You're just a pig. You're a re-pig. You are a re-piglican, and I'm sick of you. So come on, bring it on. I'm sick of you. Let's have a fight. Come on, bring it on. But they don't.
Well, you know, where this business, the 28 senators that I was talking about early in the program, 28 Republican senators voted to absolutely eliminate the federal minimum wage.
Absolutely. They don't care about human beings, Bob. They care about themselves, and they're not human. I told you the other night, they're not human. There's nothing human about any of them. They're not human. So,
well, it seems to me that you've got a point. When you get to a place where you're so well off that you don't care what happens to other people, you have forfeited your claim to the respect or good opinion of other decent people.
Absolutely. And I have gotten to the point, Bob, where okay, you and what you're doing, and I listened devoutly to your channel. There's no other channel on this planet that speaks to the truth as much as Head On Network. There's other networks that talk around the truth, okay, like Air America, and sometimes Nova gets a couple of little things in there that somebody might think. And Mike Malloy, he's always a firebrand, okay? And wherever he goes, he's followed by these, Mike has that fire in his belly. He wants to bring the nation back to a peaceful, decent, and he says, you know, we need to remove this man from office any way we can, but let's do it legally and peacefully. Let's do it legally, and our Congress and our Senate have an obligation to the American people. We did not send them there to lick George Bush's, the crack of his, okay, whatever, okay?
We didn't send them
there to lick his butt. We sent them there to kick it, okay? So let's start kicking some of that, okay?
Bob, that's my question. I understand the mindset or the inclination of certain people to say, well, you know, the Republicans behaved like vile dogs when they had the majority, and they threatened to take the filibuster away, and we'll never do that to them. I understand the urge to be decent,
Bob,
but you know what? When the fist is coming at your face, it's no time to talk about the Marcus of Queensberry rules.
Stop for a moment, okay? Nobody can take anything from me unless I let them take it, and I will not let them take the Constitution of the United States from me or from my nation. I will not let them take that Constitution. And they've done everything they can to destroy the Constitution of the United States. Well, it's time we take it back and say, this is the law, son, and we will go no further. We will not quit. We will not stop. We will never quit. But I guess I'll guarantee you that when you get in their face like that, they just cower like some cur dog with their tail between their legs, and they start whimpering.
I think if you punch back, you're going to find out that, well, I think we could have the minimum wage increase for George Bush to go ahead and veto.
No, he can go ahead and veto anything he wants to, because his butt is going to be launched into space by about 10 million, 100 million, 200 million, 250 million American people are going to launch his butt into space and just launch it with a big 12 and a half boondocker. I mean, they're going to kick his butt so far over to wherever he's.
Bob, that's what I'm thinking is going on with the minimum wage discussion or debate or whatever you want to call it, the legislation that was in the Senate that they stopped. There's this movement or this thing that's portrayed in the media. You know, many Republican members of Congress are also unhappy with the president. The fact is, that's bull. Okay,
yeah, that's right.
What you saw with the minimum wage was a matter of a bunch of senators doing George Bush's bidding. Okay, because he's already said, I'll sign a minimum wage increase as long as it comes with tax relief for small business. Okay. First of all, as long as we're talking about tax relief, we're playing in their ballpark, and that's such a loaded, stupid, dummied up, ginned up phrase. Tax relief. There's no tax. We've had 7 years, 6 years of tax relief, and we are in a world of hurt as a result of it. You know,
Bob,
I need a leadership that'll stand up, look at the other side, and say, okay, you wanted to filibuster that? Cool for you. It was your last filibuster.
Bob, it was 43 degrees in North Dakota on January 25th, right? Today is 25th, am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. It was 43 degrees above zero. And it's usually around 20 to 30 below zero. So do the math. That's
for today, where you are, than it is where I am.
That's like 60 degrees difference, okay? Between, you know, when it's normal and not normal. And right now, we are used to weeks and weeks, maybe 3 to 5 weeks of sub-zero weather, where we're, you know, 15 to 20 to 30 below zero. And this year we've had two days in the year 2007 that we have been below zero. We haven't been sub-zero. We haven't been down in the 30 belows. We've had some 15 below wind chills, but that's not the absolute temperature. And this year we have no snow on the ground. We have very little ice, and it's melting at 43 degrees above zero. We are in a real hurt locker, people. We really are. This planet is in trouble. And if you don't hear old Sarge down there in Mississippi talking about Katrina and talking about the damage that was done by that hurricane, well, listen to this. When the real global warming hits, you people ain't going to have no food, because we raise in this state and the states around us, we raise the wheat that you make your bread from. And if there's no wheat and this place dries up, you people are going to starve. And
well, that's a pretty fragile ecosystem up there, Bob. How long would it take for drought to really make a difference there?
Hey, we have had 3 years of drought, and we are looking at this next summer. It's going to be drier than a popcorn,
Can I say it?
Yeah. I mean, you plant. You farm, right?
You know, huh?
You plant. You farm.
Yeah, I live on a farm. I'm surrounded by farmers. And there are people up here wondering if we're going to have enough grass to feed the cattle. And we're wondering if we're going to have enough rain to raise some grain, okay? So we can break even and make our debts. So if the farms fail, you people in the cities will starve because there's nothing to feed you with. Where are you going to get it from? Argentina or Brazil? Maybe you can get it. Hugo Chavez down there will send you a one of them care packages from down there. But the sadness is that you people, I'm not talking to you and Agnes. I'm talking to the people of America. You people are so stupid that you think that groceries come from a damn grocery store. You people, you play your internet, you get on this and watch TV, and you think your groceries come from a grocery store. They come from the farm. They come from the field. They come from the land. They come from the soil. And every bit of dirt that grows one vegetable feeds you. And you people have no respect for Mother Earth. You are not custodians of the earth. You are destroyers. And all you want to do is run your damn SUV up down a damn highway with your yellow sticker on there saying support the troops. Well, support yourself and stop wasting. Please. And I follow Sarge because, hey, he's a strong man fighting a battle, and I'm fighting for the life of my nation, and I'm fighting for the life of my planet. And this planet is suffering, and I'm watching it die, and I cannot bequeath to my grandchildren a dead, dying earth. I want, like our dear friend, and I think of John Fox as a dear friend. He is a green person, and he thinks in the idea that we can reclaim the planet if we go to work today, not tomorrow, right now, today, and say, I'm going to stop wasting gas. I walk to the store. It's, you know, 5-6 blocks away, but I can maybe lose about 10 pounds if I just pick my fat butt off the couch and walk over to the store and pick up some vegetables instead of that, you know, whatever they're eating on the couch. And put the car keys where they belong on the shelf and just walk to the store. Walk up the elevator. Don't take the escalator because it takes electricity. Walk the steps. You know, don't take the doggone elevator.
I understand all that. And you know, a lot of our problem here is born of the fact that we didn't think about infrastructure issues. We didn't think about the need to eliminate fuel waste 30 years ago. You know, Jimmy Carter, bless his heart, called on us to start saving energy in the late 70s. We did not listen. You know, we need viable mass transportation in places like North Dakota. We need viable mass transit in West Virginia. We don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I could walk to the store, but I couldn't get home with what I bought, okay?
Yeah. Well, hey, I used to walk to the store and I'd throw a backpack on my back, and you know, I'd pack it home. You know, I'd pack it home. I didn't drive. I just walk. I just walk. And you know, one thing that's funny about getting out, and you know, if you need a gallon of milk or you know something like that, yeah, it's kind of hard to pack that home because it could spoil in about 2 and 3 hours it takes you to walk back home, but you get acquainted with every blade of grass along the way. You get acquainted. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, there was this poem I remember about a, you know, it had to do with a fork in the woods. And, you know, I took the lesser used path, and that made all the difference, Bob. See, I used to follow that, you know, that well-trod path, and then one day I came to a fork in the woods, and I decided I'll take this lesser trod path, and it made all the difference. Because I started to think, and I started to, you know, just see what was really going on. I didn't believe anything that was told to me, and I researched, and I thought, and I studied, and then I came to the conclusion that we are we are the unwanted, led by the unqualified, doing the unnecessary for the ungrateful. And we have done so much with so little for so long that we are now qualified to do absolutely anything with nothing. And that's a fact. But
hell of a lot of truth in that.
To you, Bob, and to your father, I salute you. To Agnes and the children, I love you. To the American people, I say this. Wake up, okay? And to Sarge, I say, I will follow you anywhere, anytime, and I will take your back in any fight, and we're in one, son, and I got your back.
And thank you, Bob.
With that, good night,
my friend. Yeah.
Love to the family.
And thank you for all. Listen, thank you for all the thought and all the passion you bring to your calls. Sincerely, I thank you. All right, 26 and a half minutes after the hour. Let's take a little break. Workers Independent News? Agnes, what do you think? You know how to get in touch with the program, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email into Bob at headonradio.com. Want to bring it back a little closer to home, maybe, when we come back after the break. I shared a little bit of legislative stupidity with you yesterday evening. Well, guess what? I've got more. Only this time, it's more than just, you know, keeping those Sanskrit bead holders from costing the taxpayers money. This actually gets dangerous. So that's what's coming up when we get back. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thanks to Republicans, U.S. minimum wage workers may have to wait a little bit longer for that raise that they haven't seen in nearly a decade. Jesse Russell has details.
On Wednesday, Senate Republicans blocked plans by Democrats to push through a clean minimum wage increase bill. Senate Democrats had hoped to echo the House of Representatives by passing the bill with no amendments. That was thwarted when Republicans pasted on an amendment that would cut taxes for small businesses. Debate on the bill continues as Democrats fail to get the 60 votes they need for cloture. If the bill does pass the Senate with the tax cuts on board, it may get held up when it returns to the House. The federal minimum wage is set at $5.15 per hour. On January 10th, the House overwhelmingly voted to raise the rate to $7.25 per hour over a two-year schedule. Minimum wages in the United States have not increased since 1997. Meanwhile, Iowa became the most recent state to come closer to raising its minimum wage when that state house voted overwhelmingly to send their bill to the state Senate. That bill would raise Iowa's wages to $7.25 per hour by next January.
Workers like Bill Longhorn, a forklift driver in Ohio fired for union organizing by Consolidated Biscuit Company, continue to fight nationwide for their legal right to form unions against employer intimidation and flouting of the labor law. Longhorn says management openly threatened to fire him for exercising his right to organize.
And she actually told me in front of all these people that if the union lost the election, I would be fired. And the day after the election, I was fired.
That's why Longhorn supports changing labor law with the Employee Free Choice Act to make it easier for workers to choose unions free of employer intimidation. The National Labor Relations Board ordered Bill's employer to give him his job back with full back pay, but with no teeth in the law, he's still waiting.
Even when these employers lose in these hearings, they win. It's been 4.5 years. They've done nothing. They don't have to do anything. This law needs to be changed.
Maggie Nielsen is a Chicago nurse at Our Lady of the Resurrection Hospital.
Despite Resurrection's intimidation tactics and other effects to keep us from organizing, I continue to fight for my freedom to join a union. I know that to provide the best care for our patients, We must first improve working conditions for ourselves and have a voice in how we deliver the care.
Here is today's economic report. Corporate executives are feeling good. A survey of more than 1,000 executives found that 92% are confident or very confident about the next 3 years. That's higher than it has been in more than a decade. In North America, executives are mostly very confident, more than 50%, while in Europe, only 40% are.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Doug Cunningham, Workers' Independent News.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered. But does it bollocks? Not compared to how people matter.
Welcome back to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I think that's one of Agnes's favorite songs. Sort of speaks to, well, not the part about the whiskey drink and the vodka drink, but the idea of getting up after you've been knocked down, keeping on fighting, yeah, that's kind of the heart and soul of what we do here, isn't it? By the way, before I go on to the next subject, I had another story here of. Just because the coverage isn't out there, you should know what these monsters who despise people who work for a living have done with the minimum wage bill.
They have tried, you know, beyond the filibuster and all of that, beyond eliminating the minimum wage. Try this, Saxbitch Chambliss, the man, who morphed his political opponent in political campaign ads on television into the face of Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. That Saxby Chambliss introduced an amendment to the minimum wage bill in the Senate that would have exempted farm workers from the minimum wage. See, that's back before 1966. That was the way it was. Farm workers were excluded from minimum wage protections. And so Saxby Chambliss's bill would have, it would have taken farm workers out of the consideration of the people who pick your fruit. The people who, the lettuce and the fruit and the stuff that makes it possible for you, for us to have a decent, they would have been excluded. And yeah, he submitted that amendment. Are you sick to death yet with mean America? Are you sick to death with an America that thinks it's okay to just take a big steaming crap on a certain part of society? You know, you're good enough to pick our food, but you're not good enough to get paid for it? How does that play out against Dear Leader's statement a couple of years ago? You know, there's just some jobs in America that Americans aren't willing to do. Well, you know, George, you're right. We are not willing to pick lettuce for $2.10 an hour, or 50 cents an hour, or whatever your Republican cronies in the Senate would like for it to be. If it's good enough for us to eat, it's good enough for the people who pick and grow the food to be able to eat it themselves. God, this makes me insane. Just makes me want to scream. But it is what it is, and what it is Republican Party politics. And there they are in the minority, in the Senate, building a $2.10 an hour pay raise over the next 2 years for the poorest and the worst off among us. And and bear in mind, Sam Brownback, that dirtball, that sleazebag, that unmitigated stinking piece of filth, Sam Brownback, who says that he is a follower of Christ. Well, you know, his Jesus was significantly more wealthy than the one that we read about. Oh, God. Orrin Hatch. And the list goes on and on and on. These people who say that they are better than you, they are more holy than you, they are more upstanding than you, they have better morals than you because, by God, they're Republicans and you're a Democrat. And they want to spit on the people who pick their food. What Bob said about the nature of our food system is very true. And these are the very same people who think that food happens in a grocery store or at most on a truck. Can you imagine Saxby Chambliss actually hoeing in a cornfield? Can you imagine Saxby Chambliss wanting a salad badly enough to go and pick the lettuce for $2 an hour? I'm guessing Saxby Chambliss would just as soon go without the salad. But no, I promised you legislative shenanigans. You hear it? I got my Beckley Fish wrap here. I promise you legislative shenanigans from the state of West Virginia. Now, Raleigh County, which is at, where I am right now, and right next door to my county, Fayette County, Raleigh County has a brand spanking new senator. And he calls himself a Democrat. His name's Mike Green. And if Mike Green is a Democrat, well, I'm a member of the Christian Coalition, okay? This guy makes most of his money by raising the poor, abused dogs that run at dog tracks. You know, the ones that, the greyhounds that never get to go anywhere except the track and their cage. And when they've run their race, they get, the bullet behind the ear. Or maybe the injection. I forget. I don't know what they do anymore. Well, on the front page of today's Beckley Fish Wrap, there is a photograph of newly minted Senator, State Senator Mike Green, standing next to really, really old, been there since God was a baby, State Senator Shirley Love. Shirley's claim to fame was announcing wrestling matches on the TV back when there was only one channel that folks in Fayette County could get. The caption to the photograph says, Senators Mike Green left, duh, Raleigh, and Senator Shirley Love, duh, Fayette, look over a bill. You know, obviously this thing's staged. They're standing there, you know, grinning like foxes eating crap out of a wire brush. Look over a bill Wednesday in the Senate chamber at the state capitol in Charleston. Shirley Love, the prime mover of the Castle Doctrine legislation, has been joined by 24 colleagues, making it a shoo-in for passage. Now, what is the Castle Doctrine bill? Well, West Virginia is one of those states. There's two schools of thought on home invasion and presentation of violence. There's the retreat doctrine, and there's the Castle Doctrine. Or as my teacher referred to it back in the heady days of my misspent youth, the stand and blaze rule, to which West Virginia subscribes. West Virginia says, you know, if somebody invades your home, you have every right to stand there and blow them the hell away. You don't have to retreat in West Virginia. You stand and blaze. But in a piece of absolutely unmitigated prevarication, these two supposed Democrats have introduced and been joined by 24 other senators, many of whom also call themselves Democrats, to introduce the Castle Doctrine bill. And I think what I object to most out of this story is the mendacity of the newspaper itself, because it won't tell the truth about this law. This thing is a copycat of the Florida shoot first and ask questions later law. You Florida listeners can probably tell me there have already been quite a handful of cases where people shot people down because they were scared of them. Now, here's the text. The text of this story by, who is it? Yep, Mannix Porterfield, the same guy that brought us the wild-eyed Sanskrit readers needing translations of deeds in yesterday's story. Senator Shirley Love, duh, Fayette, the prime mover of the bill, has been joined by 24 fellow senators, making it a shoo-in for passage in the upper chamber. Quote, the NRA is very interested in this, Love said. It's the same bill that was passed in Florida. From all the consensus there, the crime rate in Florida was very high as far as burglaries. When this bill was passed, it almost instantly, in statistics, showed that it decreased. That's a lie. Just a plain old, bald-faced, out-and-out lie. Love acknowledged West Virginia's crime rate typically is much lower than Florida's. What this is that stupid piece of garbage law that says if you are put in apprehension of another person, you can pull your gun and blow their head off. Because, you see, I'm no dummy. I know about the castle doctrine. I know about the sand and blaze rule. And I know that West Virginia already has the stand and blaze rule. You catch somebody coming into your house, breaking into your house, cancel Christmas. It's over. Gun, knife, crowbar, broom handle, kill them any way you want to. And as the old saying goes, if they crawl out the door, drag them back in and kill them some more. But these guys are so dishonest and so chin deep in what the NRA wants. I mean, doesn't that quote tell you a little something? Doesn't that tell you a boatload? The NRA is very interested in this, Love said. Huh. Don't you find it? How about that? I think if I... He must be the senator for the NRA. He says he's my senator. But he didn't say the people of Fayette County are very interested in this. There's no quote from newly minted Senator Mike Green saying the people of Raleigh County are very interested in this. Of course, if it has anything, the truth of the matter is, they probably are interested in it, because if you say anything about guns, the entire population of the state of West Virginia could be starving to death. The lights could be going out. We wouldn't be able to run state government. But if we got a gun bill here we need to pass. Ooh, golly. Jump right out there. Get that thing through. The 60 days when the legislature is in session in this state are 60 days of shame for me. Because I am an idealist. I am an optimist. And I believe it is possible to have good government. But having good government presupposes that you have good candidates and good elected office holders. It's just, and there will be heartbreak that arises out of this. He was in my yard and he made me nervous. That was a Jehovah's Witness and you blew him away. This fella come up to me. It looked like he hadn't had a bath in several days, and he said he wanted my money. I thought he was mugging me. Oh, God. He was a panhandler, and you wasted him. Of course, you got to remember, the NRA thinks that if everybody was walking around armed, we would all be ever so much better off. And like everything else, this has there's racism inherent in this. Who's going to make, really, and I hate to put it this way, but this is a cheap excuse to allow folks to shoot people who look, sound, appear to be different from them. And, this thing just goes on and on and on. It's carried over to page 12A. The proposal abandons the concept known as retreat, obligating someone under attack to do all possible to get away and avoid a showdown, Love said. Quote, you can use force against force in your own home and would not then be liable by the criminal or their families from suing you for protecting your own in your own home. See, he's just lying. The only place that we have anything approaching retreat in this state is the fact that you can't blow away someone who makes you nervous. And even not in your own home, you can use deadly force if you are being assaulted with deadly force. And you don't have to retreat. I am insane with this. I am incensed by this. I am and terrified by this. Who that I know or love or don't know or don't, who's going to get blown away? Because, and I quote, the NRA is very interested in this. That just makes my skin crawl. It makes me feel so ashamed. The NRA is very interested in this. And you know, when the NRA is interested in something, I do what the NRA tells me to do. I mean, how many of you out there are like me? Gun owners. I have no problem with gun ownership. None whatsoever. It's idiots I have a problem with. And see, this is an idiot bill. It's not a self defense bill. The laws of this state are clear. If you use deadly force in defense of self or others, it is a legitimate defense to the charge. This, however, says you can be the one who uses deadly force first. It is, in effect, a Wild West bill. Oh, there's the new slogan. It's not Wild Wonderful West Virginia anymore. It's Wild West Virginia, where everybody's packing heat. Be afraid. For God's sakes, be very afraid. And is this guy a Democrat? There are 24 co-sponsors to this legislation in the West Virginia Senate that has 30-some-odd total membership. And so you can see the campaigning in advance, and it'll be, Senator so-and-so voted against this bill. They hate your Second Amendment right to keep an arm bears. Jesus. Go to the phones. Gail joins us from, speaking of, Florida. Hey, Gail, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Just thought I'd add something to your Florida gun law thing. Might be interesting for you listeners to know that it was sponsored by Representative Dennis Baxley, who also happens to own Bellevue Funeral Home.
No.
Yeah.
Drumming up his own business, is he?
Pardon me?
Drumming up his own business?
Yeah. In Marion County, Florida.
Oh, that's just sickening. Well, am I wrong? I seem to have read a few of these things along the way that this has caused no small amount of grief and misery, has it not?
Well, I'm not seeing. Of course, I don't even subscribe to the newspapers anymore because they're. It seems like they've all taken a right turn over the time. But I'm not seeing a lot of, you know, extra people that are being killed because of it. It's quite easy to get a concealed weapons permit in Florida. Of course.
Yeah. What's the requirement? Breathing, pulse.
Yes, and of course the little background check to make sure that you're not crazy or a felon, convicted felon.
Live from Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Big states push for earlier vote, scrambles the race. 2008, Hillary versus McCain. Hillary's Hollywood friends switch sides. Kerry rules out joining presidential race. Obama calls for universal health care. Cheney says Hillary Clinton would not be a good president. Carl Bernstein says Bush administration has done far greater damage than Nixon. UN climate report will shock the world, says the forthcoming commissioner on the report. GOP and House calls Dems heavy-handed after majority rams through six for 06 bills. Republicans are exasperated and angry. Wah, Republicans, wah. Russia-India cement nuclear ties. Russia slams U.S. space weapons plans. Military shows off new ray gun. Holy science fiction. Senate committee repudiates Bush on Iraq. Dems seek GOP support on Iraq resolution. New York cracks down on talking on a cell phone while cycling. What about the damn cars? And a study says Americans spend more time with computers than spouse. Hope you guys spend more time with me. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.